Now, the fact that his landlady appeared to be slightly off a rocker didn't worry Billy in the least. After all, she was not only harmless, there was no question about that, but she was also quite obviously a kind and a generous soul. He guessed that she had probably lost a son in the war or something like that and had never quite got over it. So a few minutes later, after unpacking his suitcase and washing his hands, he trotted downstairs to the ground floor and entered the living room. His landlady wasn't there, but the fire was glowing in the hearth and the little dachshund was still sleeping in front of it. The room was wonderfully warm and cosy. "I'm a lucky fellow," he thought, rubbing his hands. "This is a bit of all right." He found the guest book lying open on the piano, so he took out his pen and wrote down his name and address. There were only two other entries above him on the page, and, as one always does with guest books, he started to read them. One was a Christopher Mulholland from Cardiff. The other was Gregory W. Temple from Bristol. "That's funny," he thought suddenly. "Christopher Mulholland. It rings a bell. Now, where on earth had he heard that rather unusual name before? Was he a boy at school? No. Was it one of his sister's numerous young men, perhaps? Or a friend of his father's? No, it wasn't any of those." He glanced down at the book. "Christopher Mulholland, 231 Cathedral Road, Cardiff. Gregory W. Temple, 27 Sycamore Drive, Bristol." As a matter of fact, now he came to think of it, he wasn't at all sure that the second name didn't have almost as much of a familiar ring about it as the first. "Gregory Temple," he said aloud, searching his memory. "Christopher Mulholland." "Such charming boys," a voice behind him answered, and he turned round and saw his landlady sailing into the room with a large silver tea tray in her hands. She was holding it well out in front of her and rather high up, as though the tray were a pair of reins on a frisky horse. "They sound somehow familiar," he said. "They do? How interesting. I'm almost positive I've heard those names before somewhere. Isn't that queer? Maybe it was in the papers. They weren't famous in any way, were they? I mean famous cricketers or footballers or something like that." "Famous," she said, setting the tea tray down on the low table in front of the sofa. "Oh, no, I don't think they were famous. But they were extraordinarily handsome, both of them, I can promise you that. They were tall and young and handsome, my dear, just exactly like you." Once more, Billy glanced down at the book. "Look here," he said, noticing the dates. "This last entry is over 2 years old."
"Is it?"
"Yes, indeed. And Christopher Mulholland's nearly a year before that, more than 3 years ago." "Dear me," she said, shaking her head and heaving a dainty little sigh. "I would never have thought it. How time does fly away from us all, doesn't it, Mr. Wilkins?" "It's Weaver," Billy said. "W-E-A-V-E-R. "Oh, of course it is," she cried, sitting down on the sofa. "How silly of me. I do apologise. In one ear and out the other, that's me, Mr. Weaver." "Do you know something?" Billy said. "There's something that's really quite extraordinary about all this."
"No, I don't."
"Well, you see, both of these names, Mulholland and Temple, I not only seem to remember each one of them separately, so to speak, but somehow or other, in some peculiar way, they both appear to be sort of connected together, as it were. And though they were both famous for the same sort of thing, if you see what I mean. Like Dempsey and Tunney, for example, or Churchill and Roosevelt." "How amusing," she said. "But come over here now, dear, and sit down beside me on the sofa, and I'll give you a nice cup of tea and a ginger biscuit before you go to bed." "You really shouldn't bother," Billy said. "I didn't mean you to do anything like that." He stood by the piano, watching her as she fussed about with the cups and saucers. He noticed that she had small, white, quickly moving hands and red fingernails. "I'm almost positive it was in the newspapers I saw them," Billy said. "I'll think of it in a second, I'm sure I will." But there is nothing more tantalising than a thing like this, which lingers just outside the borders of one's memory. He hated to give up. "Now wait a minute," he said. "Just wait a minute. Mulholland. Christopher Mulholland. Wasn't that the name of the Eton schoolboy who was on a walking tour through the West Country? And then all of a sudden..." "Milk?" she said. "And sugar?" "Yes, please. And then all of a sudden..." "Eton schoolboy?" she said. "Oh, no, my dear. That can't possibly be right. Because my Mr. Mulholland was certainly not an Eton schoolboy when he came here. He was a Cambridge undergraduate. Come over here now and sit down to me and warm yourself in front of this lovely fire. Come on, your tea's all ready for you." She patted the empty place beside her on the sofa and she sat down there smiling at Billy, waiting for him to come over. He crossed the room slowly and sat down on the edge of the sofa. She placed his teacup on the table in front of him. "There we are," she said. "How nice and cosy this is, isn't it?"